Hello, everybody, and welcome to our service today as our church begins another period of lockdown, which will be reviewed on the 6th of February. But we're really glad that you can join with us to worship online, or indeed by dialing in to our telephone service. I always think that in these dark, cold days, it's wonderful if we can enjoy something comforting to eat. And last week, one evening, I came in out of the cold and Vicky had made an amazing stew with chorizo and some freshly baked wheaten bread. And it really felt like a hug in a bowl. And while we can't be together physically to worship today, what we have tried to do is to create a very familiar and traditional service of morning prayer. And there will be recordings of our choir, there'll be a sung psalm and some canticles, just to keep us all feeling connected to one another as we worship God together. And our prayer is again that you will be embraced by the love of God as we focus today on the baptism of our Lord and we reflect on its significance for our lives. There are just a couple of notices for the week that is to come. This week, our Alpha course continues at 8 o'clock on Wednesday evening. It's only week two, and if you'd like to join in our Alpha course, which is an opportunity to explore the Christian faith together over the next 12 weeks or so, just contact me or contact the parish office. There are details about the email to use on the service today, and we'd be able to send you links to the Zoom call and the video that we watch together as part of the Alpha course. On Thursday evening, our parish prayer meeting takes place at 7 o'clock, and that takes place again over Zoom. And again, at this current time with the restrictions, there will be another service of worship online next Sunday. And we hope that we will be sharing the service of Holy Communion together next Sunday. But as we come together to worship God today, our opening hymn is a hymn that directs our thoughts and our minds heavenwards as we hear the hymn, God, Whose Almighty Word. Our service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together today to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear His holy word proclaimed, to bring before Him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of His Spirit we may serve Him and know the greatness of His love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against You and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve You in newness of life to the glory of Your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm appointed for today is a psalm that speaks of the Lord's power and majesty. We hear Psalm 29.
Glory.
Our Old Testament reading today is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 42, beginning to read at verse 1. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out, or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, he who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Here ends our Old Testament reading. And we respond to that reading as we hear the canticle Te Deum, part 1. Our New Testament reading today is from the Gospel according to St. Mark in the first chapter, beginning at the fourth verse, as we hear of the baptism of Jesus. And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. the whole Judean countryside, and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven: "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Here ends our New Testament reading. And we respond to our New Testament reading as we hear the canticle Jubilate. And we affirm our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And our special collect prayer for today, the first Sunday after the Epiphany, the baptism of our Lord. Eternal Father, who at the baptism of Jesus revealed him to be your Son anointing him with the Holy Spirit. Grant to us, who are born of water and the Spirit, that we may be faithful to our calling as your adopted children, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as we seek to dedicate our lives to Almighty God, that's the theme of our next hymn, Purify My Heart. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The past week has certainly not been an easy one on all sorts of levels, and my thoughts are particularly with our children, young people and their parents, in the announcement of the latest lockdown, with the cancellation of the transfer test at the 11th hour and the rescheduling of that exam in February, the cancellation of GCSEs and A-levels puts a whole range of pressures on students and their teachers in these difficult times. And then there were also those shocking scenes which were beamed across the world from Washington on Wednesday night, as the world continues to watch anxiously, as democracy seems to be under serious pressures and threats in a very divided world. And this announcement of the latest lockdown and restrictions seems without doubt to have cast an air of gloom and heaviness upon society as a whole. And yet at the same time, I think we all realize the importance and the needs for such a measure with the increasing infection rates. Today is the feast day of the baptism of Jesus, and it takes me back on a lighter note to my very first day as a student reader in a Dublin church. When I was training for ordination, I was assigned to a church on placement. And on my very first day, I'd been asked in that service to read the gospel and to lead the prayers. And there was to be a baptism at the service. And everything was going swimmingly well for me until I glanced at the sheet that the rector gave me before the service started during the singing of a hymn. And there it was in front of me in black and white. After the psalm, it said, "You lead the procession to the font." And that was where the total panic set in. Where was the font? This was my first time in this church, and so I launched off into the distance, assuming that it would be near the back of the church, and hoping desperately that the rector would be following behind me. And as I got nearer to the back of the church, I think all the color was draining from my face. No sign of the font. Would I then have to parade all the way back up again and look completely foolish? Well, I think the church warden must have seen the panic in my face. Church wardens are very good for spotting the signs, and our own are no exception here, because with a little jerk of his head, he motioned to the left, and there it was. There was the font, and I don't remember being as glad to see anything in quite a while. And yet, as I reflect back on that experience, which seems quite humorous to me now, it would seem that in many ways, that sort of experience that I had on the first Sunday I was involved in leading public worship is what baptism is all about. It's about launching out into the unknown in hope, armed with nothing but the water of baptism and the sign of the cross. And those things combined, even though they may not sound like very much, they have a huge amount of power, actually, to equip us to face whatever it is we have to face. And of course, in these days, we're all facing challenging things in different ways and in different forms. Many people wonder why it was that Jesus submitted to the water of baptism, because he himself was completely without sin. And as we know, there is a lot of symbolism attached to baptism. And the water represents that need to be washed clean in order to be given a fresh start, so to speak. But in order to receive the good news of God's love, it is equally important that we all square up to the bad news about ourselves, that in truth we're all part of a fallen race, that we have become separated from God through our sinful thoughts and actions, and there is nothing that we can do in and of ourselves to bridge that gap between us and God, no matter how hard we try. But it is there, at the point of our deepest need that God has come to rescue us, sending his Son, Jesus, to bridge that gap between him and us through Jesus' death on a cross. And now we can stand washed clean through what he did for us. And that is why Jesus submitted to John's baptism, in order to stand alongside all of us in our fallen humanity and relationship, and offer us this way of forgiveness and a new relationship with God. In our service of baptism, we do some very important things, or they're done on our behalf until we lay hold of them ourselves at confirmation. We receive in the service of baptism the forgiveness of our sins. We lay hold of that wonderful gift of eternal life. And we open ourselves up to this new adventure of a wonderful relationship with God. A writer that I greatly admire once posed an interesting question in an essay that she wrote when she asked, "What if the cross that we were signed with at holy baptism was done not with water, but with indelible ink, so that then all who bore Christ's mark wore it openly and visibly for the rest of their lives?" It was an interesting question, and I wonder if I wore a cross in that way, branded on my forehead, if it might change things. Would it change the way that I dealt with people? Would it change the way that I drive my car? Would it change the way that I do my daily work if I were visibly identified as a follower of Jesus Christ by having this indelible mark of the cross on my forehead for all to see? It's a pretty challenging thought when we think about it. I think Martin Luther, the great reformer, had a very powerful understanding of baptism. He spoke a lot in his writings about the priesthood of all believers, and he sees our baptism as actually being like our ordination. In other words, as I understand it, each one of us who are baptized were ordained at that point to share Christ's ministry in the world. And that means that our hands can be used as part of God's work in the world. And what that really means is laying hold or catching a vision of the extraordinary dimensions of what may seem to us to be our very ordinary lives. And so, whatever your hands do each day, whether they operate a computer or they fix accounts, whether they care for the land or they change nappies or they prepare meals, those hands of yours are actually God's hands, set apart for him to do whatever it is that we do. And the major difference is that we no longer do everything for ourselves, but we actually offer what we do each day to God as our offering to him, our token of service, our response of gratitude to him for all that he has done for us. And when we hear today about the baptism of Jesus, it reminds me that baptism too is all about hearing the voice of the Father. And that's a voice that we all need so much to hear in our lives at the present time, where so often people have lost their confidence, or maybe they feel a failure through circumstances that are not their fault, where maybe employment has ceased, or things have not gone smoothly because of the pandemic we're living in. Or maybe things have failed in the past and we've been hurt. And yet, just like Jesus, there is a voice from heaven that speaks. And it's a voice that offers all of us this fresh start. And it says very simply, "You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. With you, I am well pleased." And you know, that beautiful voice calls each one of us. Wherever you might be listening to this service today, that same voice calls you. It calls me. It calls each one of us. But are we open to hear it? Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks today for your call on our lives, for that simple invitation to follow you and to allow your Holy Spirit to shape our thoughts, our minds, and our attitudes. We pray that you would help your church in these days to be faithful followers of Jesus, and to do whatever we do every day, not just for our employers or ourselves, but for you and your glory. We pray today for David, our bishop, and we ask that you would anoint all online services and gatherings in your name with your Holy Spirit, with grace and power to encourage and to bless all who engage with them. And this we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We also pray today for the nations of the world, remembering particularly at this time the United States. Lord, we pray for a peaceful transition of power and for a healing of the divisions between races and classes and those with different political aspirations and ideologies. We pray today for reconciliation, for healing, for peace, and for your light to break through the darkness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. We pray today for all who are ill with COVID-19 at home or in hospital, and we pray for those caring for them. We also pray for all who feel overwhelmed by another lockdown. We pray for business owners, for teachers and students. We pray for those who live alone and who feel vulnerable. And we pray for resilience and courage and for the capacity to persevere. We also want to pray, particularly at this time, for our government and for their scientific and medical advisors, as we ask for great wisdom and harmony in the important decisions that need to be taken in the coming weeks and months. We pray for safety in the coming weeks. And in a quiet moment, we want to bring before God all those who are particularly in our thoughts or on our minds as we come to this service. We want to pray for those who have been bereaved, as we pray especially for the family and friends of Dolores Whitaker, whose funeral service took place yesterday. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. And as we're reminded of God's desire for relationship with us, his willingness to hear us, that's the theme of our next hymn, Great Shepherd of Your People, Hear. We bow our heads for God's blessing. May Christ the Son be manifest to you, that your lives may be a light to the world, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Thank you so much for joining with us in our service of worship today. Our closing hymn is again a hymn that invites the presence of God to inhabit our very lives as we seek to live for Him and for His glory. May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day.